made a wild stab for it, fell. Here's another shot, right by the score! Henderson, right in front of the net! And the fans of the team are going wild. Henderson, with 34 seconds left in the game, and this crowd is going wild!
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Brooke Ward with you here. White Spot, Vancouver Giants this week on the mighty Sportsnet Radio Network. Glad you're joining us tonight following more baseball. More baseball. It's October. It's almost November. More baseball. You'll take it. Yet it's now hockey season two. Baseball's going to play into December one of these years. Just keep going. Let's get more rounds of the playoffs. But regardless, it's been entertaining, and hopefully the next hour will be entertaining for you as well. It's White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. I thank you so much for joining us. Giants coming off a 1-4 week, finishing off six straight road games, seven road games in a row, but a six-game road trip and a long one. They played in Victoria, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. They had a few days off, and then boom, six-game trip back east in the Western Hockey League. More on that, obviously, as we cruise through the program. Dale Sipe to join us in just a couple of minutes, the senior vice president of the Vancouver Giants. We're going to talk about some of the events that are coming up with the Giants, like Oktoberfest this Friday night when Wenatchee is in town. You got a whole bunch of stuff, teddy bear toss later in December. You've got Memorial Day thing with the Vancouver Giants as well. I butchered the name of it, but it's called Military Appreciation Night coming up in November. You get Trick or Sweet coming up on October the 26th when Kamloops is in town. That's where you bring the kids. You know the drill. You bring the kids, dress them up, and at the end of the first and the second period, they get to go around all the suites at the Langley Event Center and get some treats with no tricks. It's treat night, no tricks, but Trick or Sweet up in the suites. That's a ton of fun, too. Teddy bear toss, Christmas toy drive, a couple other events coming up at the Giants. We'll talk to Dale Sipe about all these things in a matter of moments. We'll get a recap of the Giants' last game, which was a victory at the back end of the program. That was on Saturday night when the Giants took out the Pats of Regina 4-1 in Saskatchewan, ended with a victory. And also, we will get post-game comments from Galen Patterson of the Vancouver Giants as well, along with Nathan Kanter post-game on Saturday night. Nathan with us later in the program, too, for a one-on-one interview. Bill Wilms shortly as well. The veteran, the 25-year-old veteran. He's been with the team since they started. 25 years of Bill coming up also in the program, too. So keep you busy here tonight. And we've already heard from him, but he's special hello right now to my bouncer, the man, the myth, the legend. Of course, we're talking about Jack the Giant. Hello, Jack. How you doing tonight?
Oh, oh, oh.
You betcha, Jack, in fine form. Could not do it. He's the bouncer, man. He's the muscle. When there's problems here, when the host gets hassled, hassling of the host, that's where Jack comes in. Sometimes it's Jack hassling the host, though. Then I got a problem, because there's nobody bigger than Jack. You'll see him at all the hockey games as well. Vancouver Giants, four games this week. They started out, did not start out well. On Tuesday night, 6-1 loss in Saskatoon. On Wednesday, it was a 6-0 loss in Prince Albert. Friday, a one-goal loss, Brandon 4-3 over the Giants. Giants led 2-0 in the first period. Brandon had a couple of power play goals, though, to take control. The penalty killing has been a problem. In fact, in the Prince Albert 6-0 win on Wednesday night, the Raiders scored 3 power play goals. So the Giants have had trouble, it's documented, killing penalties this year. They were a clean 3-for-3 on Saturday, though, in the 4-1 win over Regina. They were down 1-0 less than a minute into the hockey game, too. Didn't faze them. That's a good sign. Up 2-1 after 40, outshot the Pats on Saturday, 32-12. Nathan Kanter had the call of the game. Let's get right into it because we got so much going on. We're short on time a bit. We're just starting and we're short on time. Nathan Kanter had the call along with Billy Wilms flying shotgun. Here's how it sounded. The 4-1 Giant win Saturday night in Regina.
Here's Claussen heading back for Regina down the right wing. Slows up, tries to center one. Pugh was almost wide open. Then he chops it well wide. Obabifo back to try to contain him. It comes in front and they score. Claussen, 55 seconds in. It was a loose puck at the side of the net. Somehow it made it to Claussen. Just like that, 1-0 Regina. Down low, it's Redwell, picked off. Obabifo heads north to Oreskovic inside the Regina line. Now the trailer moving in is McCloskey, and he was stopped. Rebound for Oreskovic, couldn't fire. And here's Spruce Grove's Brett Olson chipping it past Bridgman. The near side boards now makes a good hit. The Giants get it. Haliburda in the left corner. Back door in front, and a save there on Oreskovic from Schlenker. He had a great A from right in front of the goal. Leaves it for Schmidt. Head up, trying to weave his way in, drops it for Obabifo, moving in, right to the slot, off the post! Oh, coming so close, and then he was taken down. Slow to get up is Obabifo. Under 90 seconds to go in the first. Chorny stopping and starting behind the Regina goal. Now for Tomic, rebound, Schmidt scores! His third of the season, ties it off the rebound. 1-1 with 1:17 to go in the first. Fawcett trying to go across the ice. Sparks will pick it off. He'll head out of the zone. Sparks, does he have enough? Passes across. Giants score! Tomic finds the back of the net. Turned into a 2-on-0. Sparks to Tomic. And it's 2-1 Vancouver. And the puck rolled off his stick to the far corner. Chorny trying to get there first. Leaned on. Goes down. And Sparks will steal it. High slot. Nice dangle. Sparks in front. Chorny scores! Oh my, what a beautiful goal. Sparks with the dangle and the dish. Chorny with the finish. It's 3-1. Holding on. Tried a shot. Haliburda got in the way. He'll chip it up and out. Trying to get first to the puck. Racing down the wing. Halliburta's there. And he scores! Into the empty net. Giants lead 4-1. And it's flipped up and out at the buzzer. That is it. The Vancouver Giants end their trip with a victory. They pick up the 2 points. They defeat Regina by a final score of 4-1.
4-1, 4-1, 4-1. That was it. The Giants finishing up on a winning note. Dale Sipe in a couple of minutes. Bill Wilms and Nathan Canter later in the program. Post-game Saturday, though, after the 4-1 victory, assistant coach Galen Patterson, you're pretty happy with the way things went. Why wouldn't you be at a 4-1 Giant victory?
Well, it feels really good. I think, we definitely needed it as a group, just to keep coming together. I at times when you harp on the things that you need to do to win and it doesn't work sometimes, it gets you get that kind of negative impact and guys start wondering what we're doing and, how are we going to get this back on track? But you get a win and all of a sudden, you see the light at the end of the tunnel. So it was great. It was great to get the win tonight.
You know, maybe it took you a few minutes in that first period. Obviously, they score first. But I feel like once you guys got settled in, was this as close to a full 60-minute effort as we've seen this season?
For sure. I think from our goalie to our defense and our forwards, I think everyone contributed and shared the load, and it was great. It was a full team effort for sure tonight.
And let's go over some of the key moments in this game. I mean, we had some great individual performances. I know, obviously, it was a team, but it's hard not to talk about guys like Blake Chorny, guys like Tyus Sparks. But what is it that impresses you about what you saw tonight from the young forward, Tyus Sparks?
Yeah, he had a great night. I think Sparks, he's at his best when he's playing that heavy game, and he's moving his feet and he's driving pucks wide and taking pucks to the net and protecting pucks. I think he's that heavy game as a power forward. That's when Sparks is at his best, and he really took that on tonight. It was great to see.
And on top of that, some creativity. What an assist that was! But it was a pass to Chorny, and Chorny, does he just continue to impress? Like, where are you at with the young kid from Nipawin who? I mean, he's a bit of a homecoming coming through Saskatchewan, and boy, has he shown he's not just ready for this league, he's ready to excel.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he keeps putting himself in good spots. He's, learning the game at this level as a 16-year-old and as a centerman, it's not easy to do, and we're picking away at it, and he's just taking in the information, and he's using it, and it's unreal to see. Just an incredible kid, and, someone that's... as a young guy, like someone to build your team around too, for sure. We're really excited to see his progress as it goes throughout the year here.
It'll be nice to be home, I'm sure, and play Friday against the Wenatchee Wild, but 3-3s aren't easy. What do you guys need to do? What can you take from this and build towards for Friday? How do you keep the positivity going?
Well, we're going to have a few days of rest, obviously. I think guys need to, recover and treat their bodies well, and we'll get back to it on... most likely on Wednesday, give the guys a couple of days. And, you know, I think that, you know, as players, like, again, like, you know, you can be preaching the same thing and we can be doing the same thing, you can be losing, but then that one win can really turn things around. And
right.
It's okay, now we see, right? So just stick with it, stick with the messaging, and the guys know that that's got to be our standard. And our standard is all 20 competing and pulling the same direction. And if we continue to do that, we're going to have success.
And that is the plan. Galen Patterson, assistant coach for the Vancouver Giants. That is the plan. Keep it going. Play together. Play as a team. Kill penalties. And that's the big one, probably. Kill penalties or don't take them. But kill them when you take them. And you have much better chance for success, obviously, at any level of hockey. Meanwhile, as promised, Dale Sipe is now joining us from the Vancouver Giants. The man, the myth, the legend. The man with the talented family. He and his lovely bride, they just keep, I don't know, all the kids, they do stuff. Sipe does stuff, too. Hi, Dale. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Brooke. Flattery will get you everywhere.
Good.
There you go.
That's my plan. That is my plan. It is true, though, right? What are you guys doing? All your kids, everyone's got talent. Like, everyone sings, everyone dances.
The foal's always 80% of the mare. Doesn't have a lot to do with me. So, there you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, good one. Anyway, but it's, yeah, the multi-talented family. Everyone's singing the national anthems, all the Gat and the Whitneys, the little one as well.
Yes.
It's great, man. Way to go. Whatever you guys are doing, keep doing it. By the way, I want to get into some of the things coming up for the Giants. But first of all, the win on Saturday, much needed win in Regina. I would assume you are with me on that one.
Yeah, I mean, we need to perform better in all areas as far as that goes. You know, the team is certainly underperforming as far as the sort of talent base. We've got some incredibly talented players. I think they're starting to get it together. It's going to take a little bit of while to make this all happen. One of the challenges when you have a very young, talented team is when things start going a little bit sideways, the wheels come off the bus pretty quick. But I think our staff and our players are starting to kind of gel, and hopefully it continues on the next little bit.
You've changed, obviously, coaches before and whatnot. In your history, how long does it take teams to adjust to new personnel behind the bench?
Well, that depends. There's, again, my opinion. There's coaches that can kind of beat the mules up the hill one or two times, but then there's other coaches that teach and progress at a little bit different rate. We'll just see where this is all going. It's certainly an interesting thing to watch.
Just get. I'm getting all excited. Get the penalty killing going as they did in Regina, and things look a lot better for sure, I would say, anyway. So.
Yeah, I think that's something when you bring in new systems, it takes people a while to adjust or even understand what is being put forward. If you look at this, the data and the statistics, if we are on a penalty kill that's near the top of the league, we've probably won a bunch of these.
Let me get some of the promotions coming up, Sipe. It's been a while since the team's played at home, too. But coming up Friday, Wenatchee's in town. I want to ask you about a few of these things. But Oktoberfest, that sounds like beer to me.
Our local Langley Loop, which is the 8 craft breweries in Langley, are going to be sampling beer, and we're going to have food samples as well for people to come and do a walkthrough and get to know a little bit about the local establishments and their products. You're going to be wearing lederhosen and walking around the concourse and making sure people feel at home and Germanic.
I'm wearing it right now, Dale.
Right now, you're warming it up, eh?
Yeah, well, no, it's my everyday look. Come on, you got to try it. Very comfortable.
We're gonna have some fun with it, an Oktoberfest theme, and should be a good night.
Makes me feel sexy wearing that all day.
There you
long.
Go.
I know. Come on, you should try it. On the 24th, like you haven't tried it. On the 24th of October, Portland's in town. Hockey fights cancer. What can you tell me about that night? A very important night.
You know, it's a I mean, on our behalf, an effort to just make people aware of what's going on with some of the research and the work being done by the Cancer Society, and trying to make sure that we're acknowledging those people that are, you know, have struggled with this terrible affliction, and supporting them through whatever means we can with our hockey team.
Cancer has touched just about everybody in one way or another. So maybe one day. Anyway, hockey fights cancer, another step along the road against Portland on the 24th.
And I want to mention October 19th is our faith night. We've got sponsored by the Village Church. And we've got a kind of a pregame thing going on up in the banquet hall that should be fun and geared for families, and a couple special guests there that'll just give some significance to that whole program, which again we're calling it Faith Night, and should be a good event.
Madison Haddintown, Faith Night, Sunday, October the 19th. It's a 4 o'clock hockey game, that one. Just a couple more quickies, because I like to get you on before Teddy Bear Toss and all that stuff. But on November 10th, Monday night, Everett here at Military Appreciation Night. And you can't give enough appreciation to the military, these people.
No, I think it's something our nation's kind of fallen a little bit behind on. I'm not to get like Don Cherry, maybe, but he's one of my heroes. But we need to acknowledge those people that have served our country and been willing to provide the ultimate sacrifice, in some cases have. And we're gonna bring in some of the local military associated folks and just let them know that we're behind them.
Excellent. And buy a poppy, as Don Cherry would say. Get a poppy, as Don Cherry would say.
Get a poppy.
You know it, man. And when we get closer to December, we'll talk about Teddy Bear Toss on Saturday, December 13th, the Christmas Toy Drive on December 14th, all the good things you and the Giants put together. Thank you, Cyper. How many years you been married now?
What are we? 29.
29. Is there a 30 in there, do you think, or has she had enough?
Well, it depends. If she has put up with me for another few months, we'll be good. She's laughing right now.
Yeah. She knows what's coming. Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah.
You get hit from behind. Oh. 5 minutes in a game, hit from behind. You didn't even see her coming, Cyper. Thanks, pal. I'll see you on Friday night.
All right, pal. Take care. See you then.
Dale Seip, the senior vice president of the Vancouver Giants. Wenatchee in town Friday night at 7 o'clock. Oktoberfest night at the LEC. Get your tickets right now, VancouverGiants.com/tickets. Bill Wilms coming up next. Stay with us. I'm Brooke Ward. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.
Journey stopping and starting behind the Regina goal. Now for Tomik, rebound. Schmidt scores! His third of the season, ties it. Off the rebound, 1-1 with 1:17 to go in the first.
Cameron Schmidt with another one for Vancouver. I don't even say he's warming up. He's been warm. He's already warm. He's heating up, but he was warm anyway because he's done well with Vancouver. He's sort of quietly gone about. All of a sudden, he's filling the back of the net, the Dallas Star draft pick. Speaking of stars, Bill Wilms is with us now. Hello, Mr. Wilms. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. That was a big win, I must say, on Saturday. I want to get my day straight. The Saturday win, they needed that, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a must. I mean, we talked about 3-3 on this trip would be really, really good. 2-4 would be okay. 1-5, you kind of, you know, you wonder. And obviously, if you don't win at least one on this, it was kind of, would be kind of a... you know, not a great effort, but yeah, I agree. There's no question they had to come away with it. They did. It was very tough at times, Brooke. I mean, you know, a trip to either the Central or Eastern Division is always exciting for the kids, especially the kids in the BC or US Division. And especially when you got, you know, pretty good weather in October, you know, but, you know, the bonding and all that is fun. But behind the scenes, coaches and GMs offices are making really early decisions about what are the goals for our team this season. What is the ceiling for the teams in this season? And that division is filled with a lot of coaches and GMs making decisions on where their teams can finish. So it was going to be tough right from the get-go.
Yeah, some younger guys you mentioned, Bill, that would say, you know what? Hey, cool. We're on the bus, right? We're going, hey, they could still be on the bus for all I know. It's such a long trip back. But the younger guys would get maybe a kick out of that, Bill, until that bus ride home. But what does it do to the older players? Among other things, hey, let's get this out of the way early. Is that the upside to them? Or, boy, I just can't imagine going on a road trip like that.
Well, you wish it was a little bit more fun. Again, as I was saying, this Eastern Conference, this Eastern Division, even the 20-year-olds, I mean, it's taxing you, the 19-year-old, everybody. It's taxing you to the limit. You got to remember, the 25 WHL champion Medicine Hat Tigers, Central Division, the 24 WHL champion Moose Jaw Warriors East Division, I mean, the bar is pretty high. So even as an older guy, you're going in there and, knowing that their teams are assessing their plays, their players, their team to see where they are. And then that assessing both for the Giants and the opposing team, that continues, really until the January 10th trade deadline. But, going into that Eastern Conference and that Eastern Division is going to, it's going to be a big ask. And because of what those teams, I mean, sure, the Giants are assessing as well, and I'll get into that a little bit more. But those teams are really trying to figure out what kind of teams they have, with the bar obviously, being pretty high. And by the way, when I talk about the Medicine Hat Tigers as defending WHL champions, don't forget, they're here on Sunday at 4 o'clock. Wenatchee's here on Friday, but Medicine Hat is here at 4 on Sunday. And you talk about assessing a team and see what you've got when you're defending champions, and you've lost the number one overall projected pick in the next NHL draft, Gavin McKenna. It's a big job. That's why coaches have headaches and general managers have migraines. They're constantly, especially in a place like Medicine Hat with the McKenna situation, they're making decisions on the fly. So they're here Sunday, but, the Giants also are making decisions. They have to. And, there's such a historic success that making the playoffs is a given. I honestly kind of cringe when I hear somebody ask me, do you think the Giants will be a playoff team this year? I know there's been a couple bad years, but to me, those are the exceptions, not the rule. I think every time the Giants start a season, the job or the goal is a given that it's a playoff team. You're always trying to build a team that might be able to vie for the championship, not just the playoffs. And, when you go back, so if I go back to that road trip that we just completed, here is a measuring stick when you're looking at your team, whether you're one of those teams they played or you're the Vancouver Giants. Brooke, it's not what you can do as a player, it's what you will do. We know what you can do. I mean, that's why you're on the team. That's why you're on these teams. That's why you're on the Giants, because we know what you can do. Now, what will you do? Now, when you looked at Saskatoon, Prince Albert, and Brandon, their goal is an Eastern Division title, okay? Not at a minimum, okay, playoffs. But that's hardly – I can assure you that's not even discussed over there. They are top-end teams. Saskatoon, Prince Albert, for sure. Brandon, right in the mix. And when you look at the remaining teams, the Giants get a 4-1 win in Regina. Okay, now they're still rebuilding from the Connor Bedard era. I don't think they've ever recovered. They get a 5-3 win in Moose Jaw, and they're on their way up. And they lose in Swift Current 7-5, but remember, they scored 3 goals in the first minute and 32 seconds of that hockey game. They should have won. So they, the losses in Saskatoon, Prince Albert, Brandon, and whatever you want to call the Swift Current loss when you have a 3-0 lead that early, but wins in Regina and Moose Jaw. So it kind of went about the way I think we could have expected. And they finish it off with that, with a win in Regina. So I thought that was pretty good, but I'm sure you followed. I mean, the story of the road trip, was kind of had the same flavor, I think. It was 27 goals against Brook and 10 of them were short-handed goals, power play goals that were scored against them. Man, I don't know what that percentage is, but it was not good. You know, they were 5-on-3 against three times, and I think the team scored goals against them on each one of those 5-on-3s and then had a 5-on-4 and scored on that. And they had four-minute double minors two times and a goal against in each one of those 2 minutes of the double minor. I mean, it was really quite incredible. So, that's something that has to be addressed, and I think it was. I think the last two penalty kills of Regina was very different. They say that discipline is often a factor in not taking a penalty, because it usually can result in a goal. But sometimes it's your structure, your penalty structure, killing, how you're killing this thing off, that is a problem. And in my opinion, it was very, very passive in a lot of the games, and a lot of the opposing teams simply had time, they had space, they could make plays with the puck in their possession, they could find seams, they were passing pucks through seams, and quite successful. And like I say, I think that they addressed that the way they had to, and probably will be working on a lot this week, because really that it was bad luck at times. And even in Brandon, when they had a chance to pull a goalie and, get an opportunity there, I think they took too many men on the ice penalty late, delayed that 2 minutes of getting the goaltender out. So it was some bad luck, and also obviously a situation I'm pretty sure they have corrected.
Well, the Calgary game, or Regina, forgive me, the Regina game, their first, I think, blank, like 0-for-3, or 3-for-3 killing, I should say. So I think that was the first perfect night. They're still giving up 59.5% on the PK is their their penalty killing percentage. Success, 59.5, yuck. And what changed then on the game on Saturday, Bill? You allude to speed and maybe hustling a little more, shall we say, or not giving guys as much time or ice in that game.
Well, that's exactly, you nailed it. Hustle more, move your feet more, challenge players more. When they went to the boards on the shorthanded situation, they were battling for pucks to try to get icings. And I remember Don Hay telling me years ago, he says that, usually when you give up, often, maybe not the word usually isn't right, but often when you give up a power play, a goal against, you've had an opportunity during that time to get it out. And you didn't, so you had it on your stick. It just felt passive, it didn't look dangerous on a penalty kill. It was just like a lot of room, a lot of space. And I remember last year they were into that situation for a bit too, and they managed to correct that. But there were a lot of things I think that you could take out of this trip. I think 5-on-5. Altogether, can disappear quickly, but when they were on the same page, it was great. If they have sustained energy instead of bursts of energy, they're a much different team. And the most important commitment, I think, and I know the coach talked about it at several pregame shows with Nathan, was compete. Commit to energy. That's so important. And when you get exhausted, which you will in hockey, obviously on any shift, learn to rest and don't quit. It's easy for the body to say, hey, you haven't got any gas left, and you gotta keep it going. But you know why I think this team 5-on-5 can compete with any team, Brooke, is because this forward group is pretty hard to match up against. And even their fourth line, they got some quality minutes of whoever was on that fourth line, but this forward group is good, but you can become a little shell shocked too. When the Giants get called for a penalty, it's been a shock to the system. Like, it's like, oh, here we go again. And, you know, the old expression that you always hear is you win as a team, you lose as a team. And individual play seldom wins games. So there was some wonderful stuff, I thought, that did come out of all of this. Obviously, the two wins, and they were solid wins. You know, they deserved those two wins in Moose Jaw and in Regina. So, you know, we can move on from this point. But there's some work to do. There's no question about that. And Brooke, you probably got in front of you. Where are the Giants in the penalty kill as far as the league is concerned?
Oh, they're last. They would be dead last. They're 23 out of 23.
That's got to be addressed. I mean, everybody knows. The coaching staff knows that for sure.
Yeah, as we said, get the PK going. And I've watched some of the games on Victory television, on the internet anyway, and seen a lot of guys sort of standing around during the penalty kill. So there's where the moving the feet comes in, and I'm no expert. But interesting, I'm looking at some of the Giants stuff, though. You heard Cameron Schmidt's third of the year. Ryan Lynn's got leads the Giants in scoring with 12 points, 3 goals. Then Haliburton's got 7 goals and 10 points. Schmidt's got 3 goals, 10 points. Tyus Sparks looked so good as a rookie last year, 2 goals and 5 assists in 9 hockey games. Tittleback, 2 goals, 4 assists in 9 games. And then, Bill, then there's this guy.
And Sparks will steal it. High slot. Nice dangle. Sparks in front. Jordy scores! Oh, my. What a beautiful goal. Sparks with the dangle and the dish. Chorney with the finish. It's 3-1.
The insurance goal on Saturday night. Chorney's got 3 goals. He's 6th in scoring, this rookie. 3 goals and 2 assists for 5 points. An even hockey player, too, in the plus minus right now, Bill. But on a team that, again, gives up a lot of power play goals anyway, maybe not so much even strength. But what do you think? You've been telling me for a while, watch this Blake Chorney kid. And how can you not watch this Blake Chorney kid?
Well, you know, you either meet expectations even at this time of the year, or you don't meet them, or you exceed expectations. Well, he's definitely exceeding. I mean, playing center is not the easiest at the best of times, never mind 16 years old. You watch him in his own end. He wants to check. You know, he desires to check, and that's a center's job. He's got way more ice to cover than wingers, for example. I mean, the center's got to play 200 feet. He wants the puck. He wants the puck in his own zone because he knows he can start a rush with it on his stick. Very interesting. And you watch him in neutral ice. He leads the attack. You seldom see Chorney the trailer on an attack. He's got the puck and he's going with it. And then when you watch him in the offensive zone, again, he's a puck hound. He'll work like crazy to get that puck. And he's 6 feet and 197 pounds and got tremendous mobility. He's just something really special as a 16-year-old, and he can contribute offense. Listen, on this trip, he got goals in Moose Jaw, Saskatoon, and Regina. He had 10 shots on goal on this trip. He led everybody in that department. Yeah, I'm glad you got that goal, because he has been somebody special, I think, on this team. But, you know, if I may, Brooke, I'll go through really a couple other guys quick, okay? Because we learned so much off of this trip. We look at Obo Bifo, a power game, no question. Exactly what we saw last season at this time when you got hurt. I don't understand, honestly, his -7 and the plus-minus. I don't understand that. Oreskovic, Nathan can give you all the stats as well, displaying, I think, tremendous growth. Really, again, we expected this from him. You talked about Ryan Lynn. Brooke, he's really stretching his game offensively, okay? And he's succeeding. This is important. You know, he's getting a lot more involved in the offensive zone. And, you know, what I didn't like on this trip, they targeted him physically a little bit too much for me. And there was no response. You got to protect that asset like it's gold. That's a must. Hood, what are you going to say? He's, you know, last year we saw that he passed from hoping to make a save to will make a save. He's been terrific. I know he doesn't like his numbers, but that's certainly not his fault. Haliburton, consistency in spades. You know, just night after night. Now, you mentioned Schmidt. You know, I mean, he was a bit of a head-scratcher. He went 3 games on this trip without a goal, you know, without a point. He had only 3 shots in that time, but he turned it up in the final, and you know the danger that he can be. I was even impressed with Merrick Howell. You know, when you're forced to play with Ryan Lynn, it takes an adjustment. It's not just something that happens one shift after another. It takes a lot of time. And on a team with a minus 17 goal differential, you check his plus minus. It's pretty good. Tobias Tomic at Brandon was his best game so far. Then he took the offensive weapon to the next game in Regina. I thought that was great. And I agree with you with Tyus Sparks. You know what he brings? He was a little bit perplexing on this trip, but he turned it around in Regina with the two assists. Can I talk about one more?
You go.
Lance McCloskey, number six, defenseman. One of the top prospects coming out of the U.S. He's grabbed the opportunity to play on this team with Mittelstadt hurt. He's grabbed that spot by the throat, honestly. He's looking more comfortable every single game that he plays. Fans watch him when he gets on the ice. He's also a real prospect coming up. So, and he's looking more comfortable to me every game. And I think, again, in Regina, three shots on goal. I mean, for a defenseman, there's guys at defense that go, you know, three, four, five games with a shot on goal. He's a good one. So, again, you got Wenatchee coming in this Friday night. And as I look at their team so far, they haven't got a win. They played, what, six games, and they're winless. And they play Seattle one more time before they see the Giants on Friday night.
We'll look forward to the game, and I'll look forward to seeing you, Mr. Wilms, as always. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, friend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Billy Wilms. Coming up next, Nathan Canter. We'll find out, maybe we'll find out if he's still on the bus. That's a long drive home from Regina, folks. Stay with us. This is White Spot, Vancouver Giants this week. I'm Brooke Ward. This is Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and post-game on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
There goes Jeff Hansen into the corner. I think it's Jeff. No, it's Jack. It's 17. I'll have to check that later. Huey puts a crushing check on him on the boards. Oh, I'm telling you, things are really going on out there now. And I think that was Jack. Well, it was Jeff or Jack, but I'm telling you, Prune County is just visibly upset by this display. Come on down and get places for the home games. Bring the kids. We got entertainment for the whole family.
Ho, ho, ho.
Fun for the whole family. Oktoberfest. It'll be fun. Dale Sipe talked about that earlier. Tasters, beer tasters, food tasters. Oktoberfest Friday, when Wenatchee hits the mighty Langley Event Center. Right now, all hits all the time. It is the voice of the Giants. It's Nathan Canter. Hello, Nathan. Hi. How are you?
Doing very well, Brooke. I'm excited for Friday, too. Yeah. I wish I could get in on the beer tasters.
I think you could. We'll get them sent to the press box. Be your best call ever. You know, Bill's usually drunk anyway during the play-by-play. He might not notice. So, anyway, hey, how tired are you? How tired are you?
Yeah.
How are you holding up? That's a trip, man.
It's a trip. Had a few days to back Sunday around dinner. So had a little bit of time now to recover, rest, nice Thanksgiving Monday. And got to basically get back at her and get ready for Friday. So not a lot of time, but enough to recuperate. All good.
I'm going to ask you to walk me through the trip a little bit, if you will, in Nathan Canter edited form. But before I do, big win. Needed that win. 4-1 in Regina.
It was absolutely necessary. Yeah. So all in all, you go 2-4. Would have liked to go 3-3. 2-4, though, considering how long it is. You know, some of those opponents are really good. Like, let's not forget Saskatoon and Prince Albert are two of the best teams in the entire Western Hockey League. But getting that win against Regina and the way they did it too, right? I think that's what this team needs, a little bit of some confidence to reinforce, hey, what we are doing, what we are trying to do, the concepts, this is, you got to stick to that. You hear that a lot, stick to the game plan. Well, what everyone says that. What does that actually mean? Well, all the ways that the coach, they want you to play in a certain manner, whether it's on the PK, on the power play, at 5-on-5, different situations, depending on, you know, offensive zone, defensive zone, et cetera, you can't try something and just give it up, right? You got to stick to the blueprint that they've given you. And Regina had 12 shots on net in that game, just 12, the whole game. Giants deserved the win. Could have been worse than 4-1 for sure. Could have been, you know, 5-1, 6-1, and just really, really good to get it. And we saw some great individual performances, but the biggest thing, that win was a team win. It was everyone going. It was great.
Well, let me just drop this on you, because I ran your postgame comments with Galen Patterson, assistant coach, earlier, and I want to just drop a little bit of what he had to say on you right now, too, and get your reaction to it. Here's Galen Patterson postgame with Nathan after the 4-1 win in Regina.
You can be preaching the same thing, and we can be doing the same thing. You can be losing, but then that one win can really turn things around. And
right.
It's okay, now we see, right? So just stick with it, stick with the messaging, and the guys know that that's got to be our standard. And our standard is all 20 competing and pulling the same direction. And if we continue to do that, we're gonna have success.
Only thing he said wrong, Nathan, it should be all 21, because he did not include you in the 20, I don't think. So it should be all 21 of us.
I don't know if I was pulling my weight on that trip. I don't know.
Man, I think you did. That was some schedule. But your thoughts on what he just said to you there postgame?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, right? It's like that, getting that confidence to the group to reinforce again, yeah, this is how, what we need to do, and it's working, right? To see those results, I think it's huge. I liked what he said about one win, especially it was the end of a trip, and they could have been tired, and they were, but they could have shown, more. It didn't even show at the end of the trip. They were the much better team, and they showed that, and that's huge on the mindset of the team, right? And I think we can all agree that the surprising thing has been, when you look at the team on paper, you see all this talent, how are they 3-6, right? That doesn't quite, and I think a lot of it, the reason is a bit of the mental, the off ice, game, for whatever reason, this team is better, they can be better. So to get a win like this, to reinforce that what they're doing or what they're trying to do will work, can work, is huge.
Well, it was good. 3-for-3 on the penalty kill, finally. A blank sheet on the PK, and a couple of blank periods, too, for Burke Hood. But one goal against. I mean, I really don't want to go through all the goals against in every game, but it's like, ooh, one goal against, good, in a 4-1 win, and their PK was better. Why was it better?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just what was happening earlier. Why it wasn't good was seam passes were getting through. And so that's just, your sticks aren't in the right lane at the right time, or a person isn't in the right spot at the right time, and, or you're reacting late, or when they move the puck to a certain spot, your rotation isn't where it should be. So it was better because I think they're getting used to it, and they're knowing a little better about where their sticks need to be, where they need to be at the right time. The other thing, to be honest, is the Regina power play is not as good as, let's say, a Saskatoon or a Prince Albert power play. The other thing, to be honest, that we should bring up, one of the reasons the PK hasn't been good is they were in 5-on-3 situations. Like, they were just taking too many penalties against, for example, Prince Albert. They had back-to-back 5-on-3s. That's just shooting yourselves in the foot. Those are self-inflicted wounds. And that's, I think, a lot of what we've seen early this season is the Giants, the players themselves, they're not making it easy on themselves with the amount of penalties they're taking, when they're taking them, for whatever reason, all at the same time. So a big step to improving, and what they did in Regina, was they cleaned up that discipline, and they weren't shorthanded 6 and 7 times, and they weren't shorthanded for extended 5-on-3. So that is also a big part of it. In addition to any good penalty kill, block shots, your guys are in the right areas, and you get saves. Those are the three big things.
Who stood out for you in a positive way on the trip?
Blake Chorney is a player. It is incredible to see. This kid is 16. He is the first guy I think of, because he was playing in his home province, but he scored his first career goal, his second career goal, his third career goal. He had his family traveling around, which is really cool, to all the buildings. I know for his first goal in Moose Jaw, you could hear the cheering section from anywhere in the rink. You could hear it, and the guys were laughing after he scored the first goal. They could hear his mom screaming from the bench.
Really?
They were kind of giving it to him, like, jokingly, of course. But after the game, I go, was that your mom I heard? He goes, yeah, she's loud. but it's like, seeing that support is so cool, right? And he's just impressed me so much, not just with his scoring. His entire game, he's a centerman, the toughest position to play other than maybe goalie. And he's just in the right spots. You have to be on the PK. Well, how about in your D zone as a young player playing center? You have to be in the right spots. And he usually is. and he's got the strength. He's going to continue to build. He's already very strong for a 16-year-old, but he's got that two-way ability, which is huge at a key position at center. And we're going to see him, I think, continue to he could be in the conversation, I really think, for one of the best rookies in the Western Conference, and he's just 16. It's great.
Off to a great start. Can't wait to see him at home more often, too. You guys just set, by the way, 6-game trip, but 7 straight road games. You want to go back to Victoria in late September, mm-hmm. too, so haven't been around for a while. Middlestat's injury, what's the latest?
An upper body thing that he was designated week to week, so
ouch.
I know he was at one point skating lightly. I don't know if he's ready to go this weekend, but I think that's a possibility. I'm not going to rule it out at this point. But he did not join the team on the trip, and he was rehabbing back here in Ladner. So
funny. You say week to week sounds like a long time. Then I realized, well, you guys been away week to week.
We've been away for 2 weeks. Yeah. So it was week to week when it started. So he could be, I don't know where it's at now, but, I think he's a possibility for the weekend. It's not like a month, that it's not a super long, but he's also, he's not day to day.
Yeah. So, okay, here you go. You come back. You got, how long? 19-hour bus ride back from Regina, was it, approximately? What do you do on a 19-hour bus ride?
That's a great question. You do a few of the same things. So you're trying to sleep, of course. You're watching some shows, some podcasts, movies, whatever. At first, you know, guys are chatting, and after the win, it was good. They play this game. Oh, what's it called? There's some phone fighting game, Clash Royale or something. That's what a lot of the players do, where you can, you know, kind of face. I think they can all join and face each other in some mobile game. They're all chatting about it behind me. I don't know.
Yeah, kids, huh?
Kids, yeah. I know, kids these days. Jeez, all their weird games. But they do that. Then eventually it dies down as people get tired. Of course, we started out at night, right? So then you try to sleep. And so by the time we were, our first stop the next day was breakfast in Golden. So that was about, no, it took us through the night. So you get there about, it was like 8:30 the next morning. You're like, oh, I'd love to be home. Oh, we're not, we're only in Golden. So
you're trying not to count I would imagine you're trying not to count the hours. Just don't think 19, 18, 17. So you get breakfast and you're back on the Iron Lung for, are you home by dinner?
Yeah, so that's the thing. So we got to, we had a second stop after there, which was nice. In addition to breakfast, you get some lunch in Kamloops at the Great White Spot. And then you're home. Yeah, we were home around 4:35.
Afternoon,
yeah, my just God, before dinner on the
goodness.
Sunday. So
I was into my third baseball game, I think, and about my fourth football game.
Well, that's the thing. That was important that the guys got home in time for the Blue Jays game, although obviously they're down 0-2, but
Yeah. Yeah, no sticks in the first game, and then the second game, I just go ahead. Oh, those poor Toronto people. The broadcaster sounds so sad when they lose.
Is it in Vancouver, though? It's got to be Jays, right? I know there are some Mariners fans, but I would hope most people cheer for Canada's team.
It's Jays. Well, we don't like people. It's not like we don't like people from Toronto. We don't like the attitude that comes out of some of the Toronto people, broadcasters mainly. Or those who run the stations.
Team,
yeah, I know, but
the Blue Jays team.
I know, but it translates into how much joy do we want people in Toronto to have? Because you're force-fed Toronto stuff all the time from the bosses at all the networks.
Yeah,
that's our issue. But at the moment, so I'm like, well, I'd rather see the Jays than the Mariners in the World Series. But if it's a no-lose situation for me, except I'm more familiar with the Jays than I am with the Mariners. But it ain't over. But they got to get some couple of wins. But
yeah, they got to get some together.
Know. But that's one thing. At least you guys on the bus coming in, if when games start, then at least guys maybe have access to watch some of those games on. And, you know, illegal betting on the bus on who's going to score next. That's what I would be doing in my day. Hey, thanks, Nathan. I will see you Friday night. Long road trip. You sound fresh, pal. And it's Oktoberfest Friday. We'll keep you away from the beer. Bill, as mentioned earlier, he's usually wasted during the game anyway.
So, he doesn't need the beer.
Hey, pal, you're the man. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much.
That's Nathan Cantor. I'm obviously kidding on Bill. Coffee and tea drinker only. Nathan Canter, the play-by-play voice of your Vancouver Giants. We are done. We're pushed right up against the clock here. Thank you so much for joining us. A special Tuesday night due to all the baseball. Special Tuesday night edition of White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. I'm Brooke Ward for Jack the Giant.
Ho, ho, ho.
We'll talk to you again next week. Go Jays. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650.